Steve Wamhoff, who is the legislative director for the Citizens for Tax Justice. Steve, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well. Tell us what you do. What is Citizens for Tax Justice?
Citizens for Tax Justice is a national organization based in Washington, D.C. We do research on tax issues, and we advocate for tax policies that are fair for all Americans.
What's your take on what may happen today at 10 a.m. when the Supreme Court releases its ruling on Obamacare?
Oh, boy. I'm not a constitutional scholar. Yikes. I'm hearing that there are a lot of people, a lot of legal scholars that say the Supreme Court would be absolutely wrong to strike down part of the health care reform. But given how, frankly, ideological some of the justices are, it is possible that they will do that.
And this story I found yesterday online, and I'll read you the first couple paragraphs. It says, an international group of economists is recommending that the United States adopt policies that would make higher-income Americans pay more taxes to help boost the U.S. economy. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development favors eliminating some tax breaks for high-income individuals on mortgage interest and health insurance. It also proposes reducing tax breaks for corporations that they receive when they borrow to make investments. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that, you know, what you've said so far, that generally is in line with what a lot of people are saying about the need for tax reform. I do agree we have a tax system right now that is overly complicated. It is filled with all kinds of special breaks, special tax loopholes for individuals, for corporations. I guess I am cautious about, you know, when somebody talks about tax reform, I have to pay very close attention to what they mean exactly. To me, a true tax reform is the kind of tax reform where all income is taxed at the same rates. You know, that's what Ronald Reagan signed into law. I think that what we've gotten away from that in recent years. We have a system where certain income, investment income, for example, is taxed at lower rates, and that causes all kinds of problems. People try to make their earned income, they try to disguise it as investment income to benefit from the lower rates and stuff like that. And I think that, you know, as long as we're talking about getting rid of some of these tax loopholes like that and some of these special breaks like that that really are the problem, you know, if that's what tax reform means, then I'm all for it. But when people talk about tax reform that will actually, you know, some folks talk about tax reform that will increase those special breaks for investment income, which mostly goes to the richest 1% of Americans, and that's not what I call reform. So I think it all depends on the details.
There is new information in regards to the Republican approach to Bush tax cuts and how that would affect us here as Michiganians. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we did a report recently where we compared President Obama's approach to the Bush tax cuts to the Congressional Republicans' approach. And, of course, the Congressional Republicans proposed to extend all of the Bush tax cuts, whereas President Obama proposes to extend most but not all of the tax cuts. And we found, you know, for example, under the Republican approach, the richest 1% next year would get a tax cut of over $70,000 on average, whereas under Obama's approach, the richest 1% would get a tax cut of $20,000 on average. So that's over $50,000 difference. That means that the Republican approach would give over $50,000 more on average to taxpayers who are among the richest 1% of Americans. Now, we definitely think that, you know, both approaches are, neither approach is great. You know, even President Obama's plan is still throwing a lot of tax breaks at the richest 1% and at the rich generally. However, you know, if a member of Congress has to choose between the president's plan or the GOP plan, we would say definitely choose the president's plan. To give another example of that sort of thing, you know, we looked at the share of the tax cuts going to each income group, and we found that under the Republican approach, over 31% of the tax cuts would go to the richest 1%. Under the president's approach, over 11% of the tax cuts go to the richest 1%. So, you know, that's still too much of, you know, too, in either case, it's too much of the tax cuts going to the very richest Americans. But if you have to choose, the president's plan is better than the Republican plan, in our view.
Steve, if I'm wealthy, I would say you, as the legislator for the Director for Citizens Tax Justice, aren't giving me much tax justice because it seems like I'm paying an unfair amount.
Well, I guess I don't think that's the case. I mean, first of all, remember, we're talking about tax cuts that are ending. They are temporary. They were enacted to be temporary. So, you know, we have to say, well, of all of the things Congress has to deal with right now, we have, Congress is trying to find ways to pay for everything we're trying to do. We're trying to find ways to pay for basic investments. And we have to ask ourselves, so what are the things that we want to prioritize? Do we want to prioritize tax cuts going to the richest 1%? You know, do we want to prioritize something else? And I think a lot of Americans would say we should prioritize something else, frankly.
From your perspective, Steve, should there be less government programs so we have, less that they'll need as far as resources?
Less government programs? Well, if you're asking should there be spending cuts, of course. When Congress finds a way to balance the budget and finally deal with this budget deficit, of course, a lot of that is going to have to do with cutting government spending. In a government as big as ours, of course, there are some wasteful things that we have to cut back on. But it would be, I think, really unreasonable to say that the entire solution to balancing the budget has to come solely from cutting programs. And I think that it would be impossible to do that without cutting into some programs, you know, things like education and healthcare, veteran services, things that everybody believes in and supports.
You know, what I find interesting in the dialogue that we have here on the program, Steve, is that, and on 1320 WILS, is we talk to folks from both sides of this story, and there are many people who are wealthy who have worked very hard, and they feel that giving their money to programs and to people who don't work as hard as they did, they almost feel like they're penalized.
Well, I guess I would say a couple things about that. I mean, for one thing, if you look at, we've put together the numbers where we looked at all of the different types of taxes that people pay in the United States, and that means like all the federal taxes, the income taxes, the payroll taxes, the state and local taxes, everything. And we found that the system overall, it's not really burdening the wealthy in some outrageous way. So, for example, we found that if you put all the taxes together, the richest 1% of Americans, they pay 21.6% of the total taxes. That sounds like a lot, but until you realize that the richest 1% of Americans also gets 21% of the income, right? And we look at the poorest fifth of Americans, that's the poorest 20% of Americans, they only pay 2.1% of the total taxes. And you might think, oh, they're getting by with murder, but then you realize, well, they only get 3.4% of the total income. So, they get a little bit of a break, but it's not like an outrageous break. So, I think right now there's this idea floating around that the wealthiest Americans are sort of shouldering all of the burden to pay for all of the government. And I think that's just not true. And I guess I would say another thing that's going on is that when we look at the things that the government does.
All right, Steve, I've got to get to a break now. We will have you back on. Thanks so much.
Thank you.